Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The Bible says foolishness abides in the heart of a child. So when you get a child, they are foolish. Don't think they're fixed. You know, I laugh at parents who go to their children for everything and say, well, what do you want? What do you think? They have just been here for about a minute in the world. They don't even know what they want and what they think. In fact, some of you don't even know at this point, at your age. So why ask a child? It's better to follow what the Word of God says. Here, the Scripture is saying, don't provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Fathers, you are to treat them with kindness. You are to treat them with respect. The way you want to be treated is the way you should treat your children, because you're not just treating them and changing their hearts toward you, but you have to understand the way you treat your child is the way they're going to treat others. And that's so very, very important. It says, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from God. So we're to find the way that we deal with our children and our families from the Word of God. The Bible does say, however, that you have to discipline your children, because God disciplines us as His children. How many of you have ever been disciplined by God? Let me see your hand. That's a good thing. That's because you are His children. Now, it may not have felt good, but it was good for you. Hebrews 12 and 5 says, have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, my children, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when He corrects you. My friend, God is going to correct you. If you are doing the wrong thing, God is going to correct you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you like His own child. You know, there are many young people who get into trouble and even incarcerated today because they were never taught to respect authority. In a report, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services states that they have found that part of what children learn in their relationships with their fathers is how to be respectful to others. Fathers who were either absent or silent in a child's life is one of the reasons why so many get into trouble. It's interesting that one of the signs of the last days is children would disrespect and disobey their parents. Just to show you what a big issue this is, in 2 Timothy 3 and 1, it says, but understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful. And you know we're living in the last days because we see that all around us. Children act as though they are entitled to the blessings given to them by God and their families. And yet they are ungrateful and they are self-centered. We have to discourage and confront these attitudes in our children. Now, I know sometimes mom says, wait till your father gets home. Dads, listen, you have got to say something to your children because they expect it. You can't just let them behave any way they want. You can't allow your children to rule your house. That's not their position in the family. They are in the position to learn. They are in the position to serve. They are in the position of being prepared for life. They don't know anything. They're taking their cues from you. And let me just say this. Dads, When you're silent in the home, a child doesn't know what to think. Only what mommy says. Moms so many times get the bad rap. Let the women say amen. Because dads are quiet. Dads, you have to stop desiring to be liked and loved by your kids. And that's why you're silent sometimes. You have to stand forward and say, hey, look, I'm the dad, and I'm telling you this is how it has to be done, and go to it, Junior. You better move a little faster than you're moving. This needs to be done just like this. And you need to tell your children there are expectations in their lives. I expect you to behave like this. I don't expect you to behave like this. I expect you to fix your face when I say something to you. I expect you to always speak with respect to me and your mother and your siblings. See, it's time for dads to step up in your place of leadership and begin to tell your family the way God says a family is supposed to come to order. Somebody say amen. Amen. The behavior has to be confronted with our children, folks, because foolishness does abound in the heart of a child. See, God calls children to respect, to honor their father and their mothers. Let me ask you a question. Do your children respect and honor you? Now, I'm not talking about those that are 4 and 5. I'm talking about some of the ones that are a little older. You can't allow them to get away with sassing you. You can't allow them to be disrespectful to you, because it's going to affect their destiny. Listen, if your children don't respect you, they won't respect God. And if they don't respect God, they're not going to respect the policeman. They're not going to respect their teacher. They're not going to respect anyone. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you. You have to explain to children the way you honor us, and the reason why you honor us is so that God will bless your life, so it will go well with you. And if they're not convinced by that, then you need to use the rest of the verse, which goes on to say, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. If you don't honor your father and mother, something could happen to you. You may go up missing or something. Now, I'm not talking about something I'll do. You can smile at them when you say that. But it's still in the Word of God. You want to be blessed. You want to have a happy life. You want to live a long life. You have got to respect our home. You have to respect our traditions. You have to respect the things that we want to happen in this house. Let the church say amen. Amen. All of these things are important. All of these things God wants to make sure that as the dads in the house, we are addressing the issues that will develop our young people for the future. Folks, you know, we should never hear that our children are one way at home and another way when they are away from home. Somebody say amen. Amen. And yet that's so true. They're one way at home, but then when they go somewhere else, they're just the opposite. What's troubling is sometimes they behave better outside than they do in the home. And that's because we have to step up. We have to discipline our children. We have to give them standards of behavior. Fathers, you have to stay involved with your children, because the development of a child's self-image and character really depends upon your interaction with them. And dads, we must watch for the eternal destiny of our children, and this is most important. Please realize, dads, that the reason God gave you those children were to develop them to be good citizens, first, good Christians who know God and love God, who are prepared for anything in life, and most of all, eternity. Because we will all die someday. And the most important thing in life is where your child is going to spend their eternity. They can be a doctor, they can be a lawyer, they can be anything that might make you proud. But folks, if your children are not going to heaven, That is the most important thing you need to be concerned about. Amen. Jesus illustrated in a story about a father's love for his children. And in this story, it showed how God never gives up on his children, even if they should walk away. And I wanted to read for you Luke chapter 15 and verse 11 now. The story is about what we refer to as the prodigal son. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now, you have to understand something. To ask one's father for a share of the inheritance early was unheard of during that time. That was like saying, "Father, I wish you were already dead. But since you're not, give me my portion of the inheritance." It was a serious act of rebellion. See, so even then, during Jesus' time, foolishness was abounding in the heart of children. And Jesus was bringing that out. In verse 13, it goes on to say, a few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings and moved into a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. You know, it's interesting. Many young people say, the first thing I want to do is get out of this house. I've got to get out of this house. I've got to do this and that. But have you considered you don't have a job? Have you considered you have no place to live? Have you considered that nobody wants you to live with them? You've got to have something to bring to the table. This man, this young man, got a part of the inheritance, so he had some money. But the way life is this. You have to have wisdom in life to know how to properly spend the resources God gives to you. And young people are just not ready for that. That's why they're at home, to learn. So for all of you thinking about, I can't wait to get out, just stay a little bit longer. Because there's some things you need to learn. Let the parents say, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve, and each of us have a prophetic destiny. Every person born is simply searching for the why and the how of their existence. Everyone wants to know, why am I here? And how do I accomplish my true purpose? Well, the why and the how of our existence can only be found in God, our Creator. The Bible says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves." Your purpose is discovered by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you will never gain greater satisfaction in life than to serve your true purpose. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
He spent all of his money on wild living. The Bible says about that time the money ran out, when it happened, a great famine swept over the land. And so he began to starve. He couldn't even eat. He had no place to stay. He had no money. He had no job. He was just out on the street. And this was something common during those days because famines would happen. Folks, famines happen today. Look at our economy today. Things do happen. And here Jesus is saying, this son who was disrespectful to his parents went out, left the house, got what he could get, and then found out he was in big trouble. So he persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And he sent him into the field to feed the pigs. Now, this young man was Jewish. So one of the things that they were always told was, pigs are unclean animals. You can't have anything to do with pigs. And yet, because of his lifestyle that drove him from his house, he's feeding the very animals that were a taboo, something that he would have never done if he didn't have to. It says the young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. Those little pods started looking like steaks, and he was hungry. The Bible says, but no one gave him anything. Young people sometimes are too young to understand that people just want to use and abuse you. But the most important people in your life are your parents, because they love you, because they are committed to take care of you. Oh, you may not like everything that they do, but I'm going to tell you, young people, God sent you those parents. They are connected to your destiny. Good, bad, or indifferent, God will make up the difference in your home if you respect your parents, if you honor them, if you submit yourselves to your mom and to your dad. Everything is going to be all right. And we were all children at some point in time, so let the church say amen. At this point, Jesus is telling the story. His listeners are saying, okay, he got what he deserves. Let's just stop talking now, because he has actually slumped down to a horrendous level. I mean, the man is feeding pigs. In fact, eating with the pigs would have grossed them out, because, again, pigs were unclean. And this young man now is eating with the pigs and feeding them. The Bible says a wonderful thing, though, in verse 17. He finally came to his senses. That will happen for your young people. Please keep them around. Please do not become discouraged with your young people, Dad, and I better say moms too. Keep them around, because at some point in time, they will come to their senses. Some point in time, you're going to get a call, and they're going to say, Mom, Dad, you were right. And after you pick yourself off the floor, ask them, is this really my child? Find out, what are they talking about? Parents, you've got to understand that your children will come to themselves as you pray for them, as you never give up on them. Listen, can I say something else? Never say something you're going to be sorry for, parents. You know what I mean? Don't go too far. We, dads, we, moms, we need to watch what we say to our children, because we are still to respect them. Regardless of what you do, you want that child to always remember you respected them as they're growing up. He came to his senses and he said, listen, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. Why am I dying of hunger here? So he said, I'm going back to my father and I'm going to beg his forgiveness. It says in verse 20, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. See, this is what I'm talking about. Never give up on your kids. Dad, never give up on your kids. They may not obey you now. And I'm talking about the older ones. I'm not talking about the little ones, because the little ones have no choice. Somebody say amen. But just a few of you, so you're having problems. That's why I'm teaching this message. They don't have any choice. They need to listen. The Bible says that the father saw him coming a long way off. That means his father was looking. His father hadn't given up. He's looking for when the child's going to come back home. Listen, parents, don't worry about your children. Pray for them and just keep looking out the window, because they're coming back. When they find out what is not out there, they will come back. Come on, say after me, my children who have left are coming back. That's right. Even the ones you may not want to come back, they come back too. That's another sermon. The Bible says he was filled with loving compassion and he ran to his son. He embraced him and he kissed him. Now, this is really interesting, folks. It was a breach of tradition and even dignity at that time for a Jewish man to run. And the reason why is because he would have to actually lift up his skirts. They wore long robes. He'd have to lift up his skirts to run down the street. That wasn't very manly. And it didn't do well as far as dignity. His son said, "Father, I've sinned against you in heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be your son." But his father said, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house." That would have been his own robe. The finest robe in the house would have been the father's robe. Bring a ring. Put it on his hand. Get sandals for his feet. That ring would have been the family signet ring, which symbolized his reinstatement as a son. And he said, "Kill the calf that we've had been fattening for such an occasion as this." That calf would have been so big it was enough to actually have a party for the whole community. The father said, "For this my son was dead, and now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. In Luke 15 and 10, it says, "In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents." Fathers, you have to understand something. You've got to focus on your child's eternity. You never give up on that. You can't make them, but you can pray for them. You've got to focus on your own behavior because you've got to be an example. You're God's representative to your family. You can't be your own representative. They can't know you as the way you want to be known. They need to know that God sent you to them, to love them, to respect them, to protect them, to provide for them. That's why you're in that home. Yes, it may be your castle, but you're a servant king. That's who God created you to be. Your ultimate job is to love, speak, and pray your children into heaven. God says you can be successful if you allow him to do it through you. That's why you've got to have God's help. You've got to have God's help. I want to challenge you, dads. Many of us watched a movie called Courageous that really challenged fatherhood to go to a whole nother level. It's very touching. And many of the men here in the church said, "Pastor, it's going to be Father's Day. We want to do this. We want to take that vow to our families, to our wives, and to our children." And so that's what we're going to do today. Fathers, you are God's representatives to your family. Regardless of what condition you find yourself in, God wants to work and move and live through you to bless your family, to prepare your children for success in the future, to create a link in your generations to come to be families that are blessed by God. Dads, today that's your challenge. To be something you can't be on your own, but something you were created to be with God's help.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the media tab. The title of today's message is "You Have Not Many Fathers, Part 2. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve. And the most important decision that you will make in life is where you will spend eternity. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I want to lead you in this prayer. So pray with me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me and change my life. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ, your Son, died for me on the cross of Calvary and rose again. Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now and confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for salvation and eternal life. If you've prayed that prayer, then Jesus Christ has come into your life. Continue to pray every day. Continue to read God's Word. Find a church. Ask God to lead and guide you by His Holy Spirit. God bless you today, and keep listening to A Place to Grow.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.